This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
Yes, that's right, live from Clearwater, Florida. And I got to tell you, college just became a major issue and something I've been saying for years. Stop subsidizing college with my taxpayer dollars. Enough. This latest scandal proves that that's right. Plus, Elizabeth Warren, why was she never charged with lying about her ethnicity to college to get in? Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here. The Cioli Show, live from Clearwater, Florida. Spring training. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli. You know, I was thinking about it from this perspective. The only reason why I think a lot of people think they have to go to college or send their kids to college is because it's the only way they'll get a job that pays a decent amount of money. Right? That's it. I don't think anybody really believes you go to college to learn. I don't think so. I don't think anybody really believes you go to college because you have to broaden your intellectual horizons, and college is the only place you can do it. The reality of the situation is you send your kids to college because you're afraid if you don't, they'll never be able to get a cushy job in an office or doing something, or they'll be limited in what they can do in life. That's the reason why people go to college. Let's just be honest. Let's call it like it is. People go to college to get jobs, period. That's it. Now, obviously, there's always exceptions to every rule. If you want to be a doctor, you go to college because you have to get a bachelor's degree to get into medical school. If you want to be a lawyer, you go to college because you got to go to law school. There's always exceptions to every rule. And there are people that genuinely do believe they want to spend their life in academia. They want to be a professor. Not all professors are bad. There's very good professors. You know, my buddy Greg Renoff was a tenured professor until just recently when he decided to raise his kids. But I mean, he's a conservative guy who taught me about Dr. Thomas Sowell, also a professor. So some people do go into academia and they have, they're not there for the indoctrination. And thank God they're there, because otherwise it would really be a stacked deck. But for the most part, if you're being honest, I'm being honest, the only reason why we're saving money for my kids to go to college is because I don't want them to be in a situation where they're making less money or they can't do what they want to do because they didn't go to college. And that's just it. And that's wrong. That whole system is wrong. That system is wrong. And this latest college scandal proves all that. Proves all that to us. And you know, something I've been saying for a long time, two things. Number one, the government is, it's there. The government created this mess that we're in right now. All of these loans, these federal loans, and the entire process of it, guaranteed colleges, they'll have a steady crop of customers. It's the only business where the government says, we'll send you customers. You'll never have to worry about a seat being empty in your business. Imagine that if you were a restaurateur or a hotelier or somebody else, a ballpark owner, where you knew you had 100% movie theater. You had 100% guarantee every single seat was going to be taken care of, and the money was guaranteed by the government. You don't have to worry. And what incentive would there be for you to keep your ticket prices lower? What incentive would there be for you to make sure that you can compete with other, who cares? Because everybody then will also raise their prices. So, well, there may be a value in the mix. For the most part, all the schools charge about the same in an area. There's exceptions, of course, but for the most part, they all charge about the same. And this is because government says, here's money, we'll back it up. Anybody who wants to go gets to go. Here's money. And politicians would run on this for years going, we're going to make sure that there's whoever wants to go to college can afford to go to college. And by saying that, colleges said, so if we raise our tuition by 20 grand a year, no big deal, just give them an extra 20 grand of a loan. And then kids graduate from college with hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And then they try to find a job in a competitive market because everybody now has a college degree, so nobody stands out. And a college degree is like a high school diploma at this point. No difference in it. I could tell you that there are so many times when I look at the scam that is college and I think, man, I tell you what, if you were to ever start it over, do it all over again, you'd start a college. You'd start a college. Because unlike anything else out there, you start a college and you know that you're going to have customers and nobody's ever going to question your pricing structure. Nobody. Because you'll keep turning around and going, well, we got to compete. Why'd you spend all this money building a new luxury dorm for your students? Well, because we have to attract the best and the brightest students. We have to attract the best and the brightest, because otherwise, if we don't attract the best, blah, 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 blah. College is a scam. Scam. And it's a scam, though, unfortunately, that a lot of big corporations won't even talk to you unless you have a college degree. And that's the reality. The reality is that if you want to go work at a Fortune 500 company or a Fortune 100 company and you don't have a college degree, you better know somebody because it's going to be very difficult for you to get in the door. I don't mean in the door as somebody, driving a truck on a route or working in manufacturing where you're making, decent money, but I'm talking about executive level money. I'm talking about six-figure jobs. I'm talking about jobs that come with all the bennies. I mean, try in this day and age, try to get into a Fortune 100 company for an interview for a job without a college degree. And that's the problem. That's the problem right there. And I'll be honest with you, the reason why we're saving for college, and I'm scared to death of the indoctrination, I'm scared to death it's going to be a giant waste of everybody's time and money, is that I don't want my kids to be at a disadvantage when they're adults because they don't have degrees, right? I think that's, I would bet you almost every single person who's a parent with kids on their way to college is nodding their head going, "You're exactly right." Are there exceptions? Of course, there's always exceptions. There's some people that believe, no, I want my son or daughter to be exposed to new thinking and new learning and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, sure. Right, right. They don't, by the way. They don't. They don't actually think that. One of the young ladies here who was going to college, she was openly admitting on her YouTube page, she's going to college because she wants to be able to, party. She wants to be able to party it up. Party it up and live it up and, enjoy herself there while she's there. She put this on YouTube for all the world to see. As we look at this whole college scandal, and you think about, for example, one of the people, this high-level executive, he paid money for one of his designers to Photoshop his kid playing water polo so his kid could get on the freaking water polo team in the college. My first question is, what is water polo? The second is, how does anybody believe that water polo is actually something that my taxpayer dollar should be subsidizing? But they are. They are, because colleges get a ton of government money in the form of student loans. And also big checks, by the way. Big checks that also go to colleges. And I don't know about you, but it seems to me like to play water polo. I mean, with all due respect to the water polo players out there, nobody's living their life as a professional water polier. I can't even say it. It makes no sense. And yet, here we are, pretending like kids play water polo. There's other people, they also forged pictures of their kids playing crew, rowing, to get on the rowing team as part of the big scam, paying off recruiters and coaches to get them on the teams, athletic scholarships, and everything else. Robbie Sove, who writes over at Reason.com, he had a great piece on this today. I thought it was terrific. He said, it's time to put the college admissions scam on a rocket and shoot it right into the sun. The cheating scandal should have taxpayers asking whether it's right to subsidize the campus party lifestyles of celebrity scions who fake water polo careers. Olivia Jade, who is the daughter of Full House actress Lori Loughlin, had in her little YouTube video before she moved to the University of Southern California to begin her freshman year. This is a little bit about what she said. Take a listen.
And then the whole college thing. Yep, I'm going. I'm living in a dorm with a roommate who's so sweet. With work, it's going to be hard. Like, my first week of school, I'm leaving to go to Fiji for work. And then I'll be in New York a bunch this year for work and traveling to a different country because I'm creating something with this country, and that's for work. So I don't know how much of school I'm going to attend, but I'm going to go in and talk to my deans and everyone and hope that I can try and balance it all. But I do want the experience of, like, game days, partying. I don't really care about school, as you guys all know.
Yeah, and look, at least she's being honest, right? There's a book called The Case Against Education by an author named Brian Kaplan. In the book, he argues that the value of a college education is signaling to employers that they have a degree. That's all it is. He writes, students don't learn very much that will be useful to them in the job world. And even if they do, they quickly forget it. But a diploma signals to employers that the diploma holder is competent in some abstract way. They jump through a bunch of impressive looking hoops, and they are thus more worthy of a job than people who didn't. The implication of his research in his book, The Case Against Education, is that public funding of higher education is therefore a waste. It doesn't actually benefit society to subsidize a signaling mechanism. If there's little relevant skill gaining along the way, it just punishes everybody who, for whatever reason, doesn't have access to the right hoops to be able to jump through. If we're going to continue to publicly fund higher education, taxpayers might rightly ask whether institutions that receive federal dollars should be permitted to privilege the wealthy, the donor class, the athletes, both faux and actual, and certain racial groups, resulting in abject discrimination against Asians, for example, and white people, for example, over applicants who might actually be interested in checking a book out of the library. If higher education is really just about celebrity scions pretending to play water polo in order to gain admittance to an exclusive partying club, maybe it's long past time to hit the defund button. He's exactly right, as is the author of the book, The Case Against Education. But I'm telling you right now, the reason, 100%, 100% of the reason, 99, there's always an exception, 99% of the reason why you are saving money for your kids to go to college, why I am, is because you don't want your kids to make less money in life because they don't have a degree and therefore can't get a job in one of the prestigious companies that pays a lot of money. Am I wrong? 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. What do we do about it? How do we get the government the hell out of it? That's what needs to happen. And by the way, I'm not anti-college. You know, that's the other thing the left does. They try to put you in a box. I got an email during the break from Rob. Fair arguments about student loans and unintended consequences. That being said, I did want to say that college offers more than a worthless degree. My oldest daughter goes to American in D.C. The idea she's being exposed to, the incredible diversity of people and cultures, the way her mind has been opened and expanded to the world outside her little life is invaluable, which is, of course, why conservatives are so hostile to colleges and public education as a whole. They want their kids to only be exposed to the teachings of their parents, the church, and Fox News. Wrong. That's not true. But the reality is that I also don't need my kids to be indoctrinated either. If colleges actually did a fair job of presenting both sides of information, I would say, yeah, but they don't. And that's the problem. But it's not college that I have a problem with. It's the process by which we've artificially inflated the cost of college. Because if you didn't have the government involved, then college, like any other marketplace, would deal with itself. Colleges that were too liberal would have to be able to show it. They'd have to prove it because they're trying to, it's in a marketplace, right? Like Fox News and MSNBC, to their credit, don't pretend that they have an identity. They're not pretending, right? Hillsdale College, which doesn't take government money, is not pretending. They are very pro-Constitution. They're pro-America. They're pro-giving people the teachings that you don't often get in liberal colleges. And that's because they don't take federal funds. They're attracting a certain kind of student. It's the same exact point that if you had the government out of these things, then colleges would have to say, well, we're only to appeal to a more diverse group of students academically, we have to make sure that we're teaching both sides. But they don't. They don't have to worry about it. And also because it's a great job security. If you become a college professor, you don't have to worry about losing your job. How many college professors have to worry, wake up in the morning when they have tenure and worry that they're not going to have a job because their college is going to be shut down today? How many people in the private sector have that worry? I mean, I know in our industry we do. I know in our industry we worry that, you know, am I going to be, wiped off the radio like I never existed? Because that's how it works in radio or television or entertainment in general. But I know people who work in corporate America, they don't have union contracts. They don't have contracts like I do, where at least, you know, I have some protections. Their job could be gone tomorrow. Their company could go bankrupt. Their company could be bought out. Could be a hostile takeover. Does that ever happen at colleges? Does a college ever, do you ever have to worry about Harvard folding in the middle of the night? Do you ever have to worry about, Penn State one day? We can't pay our professors today. We got to do massive layoffs. You become a professor, a lot of the people who are attracted to that profession, and there are excellent professors. I don't mean to put everybody in a box, but a lot of people who are attracted to that profession like the fact that they're going to have a guaranteed job for life. And they also tend to have an academic bias that skews to the left. I think it's very obvious. Not all, but most. And the ones that don't skew left, people try to get them fired. That's actually happening at a college right now in America. Also at Reason.com, they talk about this as well, where a conservative professor, there's students now trying to get the college to fire this professor because she's conservative. He's conservative. He expressed his views. And that triggers the kids. It makes the kids unsafe. Activist students demand Sarah Lawrence College punish a conservative professor for expressing his views. The college must issue a statement condemning the harm that Abrams has caused to the college community, specifically queer, black, and female students. A long list of demands after occupying the campus's main administration building for 24 hours. One of these demands concerns Samuel Abrams, a tenured professor of politics. He's a conservative-leaning, and he's complained about the ideological basis of leftist administrators in a New York Times op-ed. Last November, his door was vandalized by unknown protesters who wanted him to apologize to marginalized students and quit the college. Now, the coalition is demanding that Sarah Lawrence review his tenure. The review should be conducted by a panel consisting of members of, you guessed it, the coalition, as well as faculty members of color. In addition, the college must issue a statement condemning the harm that Abrams has caused to the college community, specifically queer, black, and female students. The college must also apologize for its refusal to protect marginalized students wounded by his op-ed and the ignorant dialogue that followed. He must issue a public apology to the broader college community and cease to target black people, queer people, and women. Not targeting anybody, by the way. But this is what I mean in terms of if you deviate from the leftist mindset on college campuses and they come after you. So don't act like college professors are balanced. No, if you show any bias towards the right, this is what happens to you. The left is mainstream on college campuses. It's the mainstream on college campuses. And if you go outside the mainstream, they come for your head. That's what happens. The college has a chance to take the lead and serve as a national example in terms of how to have civil debates and disagreement and discuss facts and how they differ from opinions, the professor said. Sadly, the school did not come out strongly on academic freedom of speech, and this behavior runs against the core values of the college itself. The college president has evidently agreed to meet with the demonstrators. One of their demands, of course, is that no action be taken to discipline them for holding the campus administration building hostage. And nothing will happen to them. Of course, nothing will happen. But I'm saying leftism is the mainstream on college campuses. You know it and I know it. Let's not pretend like it's not. Jerry's in Middletown, 855-839-1210. Jerry, how are you, sir?
Hey, really good. You know, you still can make six figures. I went to a community college. Now I'm old in the tooth. I'm going to be 65 at the end of the year. I make over $100,000 managing the supermarket for a chain.
Good.
I mean, you can do it. But the trade-off, you know, I work almost 7 days a week. I put in 75 hours a week. I'm responsible for like almost 350 people in this place. I've been held up 11 times. I've been shot at. You know, but yeah, you can do it. A couple of my kids followed me. I still don't know why.
And you went to community college, you said?
Yeah, back in the 70s. For a while, there were people being policed. There's something called the Supermarket Institute. I think that's out of St. Joe's in Philadelphia. They were bringing kids in there. They were paying, you know, I don't know what the hell it runs these days, but you get these kids that are paying like 10, 15 grand to go to college. And they get out, and, you know, I got kids making $10 an hour to know as much as they do. Mm-hmm. So we're paying them to learn.
Yeah, look, man, I mean, you know, you work hard, you sound like a good guy, and you know, you're happy with your life, and that's good. Do you understand the point I'm making, though? I think a lot of parents send their kids to college that their kids have,
sure,
in their mind, that's all the options in the world, right?
That's why I sent mine. I wanted them to stay the hell out of the grocery business, you know? Two of them followed, the other ones found other things to do. You know, it's not an easy life. And yeah, I could have a bad quarter, and they'd let you go tomorrow morning.
Yeah, and college professors don't have to worry about that unless they deviate from the doctrine, in which case then they do have to worry.
It wasn't exactly the most popular parent in the world with high school instructors. I used to go after them when they were trying to fill my kids full of crapola in plain English.
Good for you. Hey, Jerry, thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye.
You too, my friend. 855-839-1210. Dave is in Newtown. Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Rich. The thing I'd like to talk about is it's fast. So I just got done putting two kids through private college, and I don't have a problem with it. The problem I have is it's based on my and my wife's income. So, example, you're making $180,000 a year. The federal government says, oh, you owe $32,000 for college. And it's like they don't care. So they just know. So I would recommend kicking your kids out. I mean, maybe tough love, and looking back in retrospect, after doing this, I would recommend your kids graduate high school, kick them out to the curb, make them destitute and poor, and then they'll be entitled to all sorts of scholarships, grants, and everything else that will come their way, because all the money you saved and all the money I saved, Series E bonds and everything else, it just vaporizes instantaneously when they go to college. And they say, oh, well, you make a lot of money, you pay a lot of money. So, and it's not based on my children's income at all, which was zero, right, other than their small jobs. So, and that's the big fallacy of college. They just, it's based on the parents. And, you know, I'm thankful they're both doing, I've got great careers making good money. But it's just the idea that, you know, it was based on mine, my wife's income, not my kids.
But, you know, if you kick them out of the house, it's still based on your income. That doesn't change.
I wouldn't fill out a FAFSA, though. They'd be independent. They'd be out, work, living in a shelter.
They'd have to become, yeah, they'd have to become emancipated from you. I mean, literally.
Well, I mean, I understand, but I'm saying when they graduated high school, what I should have done was kick them out of the house, say, you're done, you're out of here, mm-hmm, go move out, go move away, have nothing to do with me for 2 years, then apply for college. Yeah. And they would have got everything given to them. So.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it, bud. 855-839-1210. And of course, we don't do that because we love our parents, I mean, our kids, and we want the best for them. What am I doing right now, Greg? What is this, Dawn? What am I doing right now? What is this?
What do you mean?
What am I in the process of doing at this moment? Am I taking phone calls?
Yes.
It's taking phone calls, right?
Yeah,
why?
Funny story. So
you scared me.
Yeah, I
you scared me. I'm like, what?
I didn't know where we're going with this.
So after my college experience at the University of Maryland College Park, I came home to Jersey, and I started to, like most people out of college, I wanted to kind of, you know, relax a little bit, right? So I took a series of temp jobs, Dawn, as you can imagine. One of them was with the cable company. And I was taking calls at the cable, you know, for like $10 an hour,
as a
temp job.
That's worried as to what job he was going to say he took.
Yeah. And my mother kept saying to me, Mama Zioli kept saying, when are you going to get a real job? You know, when are you going to stop with this, these temp jobs? Like, get a real job, you know? And I said, I will eventually, but, you know, I just want to take a breath and take a breathe. And she says to me, I didn't spend $100,000 for you to become a receptionist.
Oh,
and it just occurred to me, I'm taking calls. I'm literally a receptionist. Yeah. I've become a receptionist. That's what I'm doing right now.
It's 100% true.
This is what I do. I'm a professional receptionist.
Rich, when are you going to find out what you want to do with the rest of your life is not being a receptionist?
By the way, this is her own fault because all that dinging you heard was her texting me during the segment.
That's hysterical.
No way. Grouper is horrible. Do you need college to be a receptionist? You don't tell that story. So back at like...
oh, my Lord. So she actually asked you not to tell the story, and you're telling the story.
After she reminded me of the story, okay, and then she told me not to tell the story. So of course I'm going to tell the story.
Of course.
I didn't spend $100,000 for you to become a receptionist as I sit here taking phone calls and giving out phone numbers. It's great.
It's literally in your job description.
Literally what happens. If I don't do it, I get in trouble.
Exactly.
If I don't do it, because I wouldn't do it if I didn't have to do it, I get in trouble.
We have to meet a quota, right?
Oh, the beautiful thing. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Is college worth it? Why are you sending your kids to college if you're a parent? And any experiences you want to talk about, 855-839-1210. John is in Bluebell. John, go ahead, sir.
Rich, thanks for taking my call. My dad was a college professor for 37 years at a school in Philadelphia. He left in the late 90s, and he told me that in the mid-90s, he said he had to get out because the kids only wanted to know what was going to be on the test. And he got sick and tired of just telling them that everything was going to be on the test. If you came to class, you read the book, you should be able to get a B. It's a multiple choice test. It was a tough test, but from what I've been told, but it was something that, you know, if you went and you did the work. And I have to thank my dad for teaching me how to think while I was in college, because I remember spouting off to him a couple times because I just had professors that, you know, told me what they thought was the truth. And I was, you know, watching the nightly news and I was reading the Philadelphia Inquirer and I thought I was so smart. And he would say, well, that's your opinion, that works. And he was a psychology professor, so I know he was using psychology on me, but he would say, you know, that's fine. But, you know, when you form a real opinion, then we can talk. And I would be like, what do you mean form a real opinion? So he got me a subscription, and I had a quad. He got me a subscription to the Washington Times, and it would come at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And my roommates and I would sit there and read the exact same story on Reagan. And we would sit there and be like, well, wait, this is the Philadelphia Inquirer, and here's the exact same story, but it's completely different. And we learned about slant. We learned about bias. We learned about opinions and what was facts. And by the end of the year, all four of us, we would have debates every night on all of these different issues. And by the end of the year, all four of us, without knowing it, were conservatives, and much to the chagrin of my professors for the next 3 years, because they were a little peeved off when I was questioning them on certain things. And then they would say, oh yeah, you're so-and-so's son. I get it. Yep. Okay. I see.
Right.
But,
right.
And my dad would eat alone. There were only three conservative professors on the campus, and they shunned him. They literally shunned him. And this was back in, you know, the 70s through the 90s.
Well, John, listen, I mean, you know, that's really goes to the point of what we've been saying, man. And, you know, you stayed the course, which is good. And I'm sure that wasn't easy for you.
No, but it was fun.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it, buddy. 855-839-1210. Kevin in Feasterville. Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing, Rich? I wish I was in Florida with you.
Listen, man, where are you? Come on, we're hanging out here. It's a beautiful day.
I'm in Philly. Got to pay the bills. I'm still in Philly.
I hear you.
I just want to ask you a question. Is there really such a thing as a conservative university outside of a theocratic university or a Bible university? Is there a open to the public conservative university?
Well, you say open to the public, or you mean
public access, not religious. Let's put it. What's the word? Non-theocracy. Is there a conservative value?
You know, to be honest, I mean, my friend Johnny Cook said Grove City College in Pennsylvania, it doesn't take federal funds. I know Hillsdale College. I mean, there are some out there, but I think that it's like anything else. You gotta look. You gotta dig. I mean, there definitely are schools that are, I'd say, less in the propaganda lane, you know, than other schools.
Right.
For sure. I mean, there. Yes. Luckily, there
but
are.
I'm not aware of any university that advertises. You know,
they never would. They never would. They wouldn't dare. They wouldn't dare because then the Democrats would get in power and take away all their federal funding. So they would have to keep it on the down low. I'm not saying that they're out there necessarily like Hillsdale being conservative, but they're certainly probably a lot less lefty than say Yale or Princeton or something like that. You know.
Yeah. Right, right. I mean, you would have to have a certain amount of science, archaeology, astronomy. You know what I mean? To be really liberal, you'd have to, like, separate yourself from theocracy, and you'd have to have some dinosaur bones, some Neanderthal.
Dinosaur bones. Got to have dinosaur bones, absolutely.
Neanderthal, you know, absolutely. Stuff that's more than 2,000 years old. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, listen,
you need textbooks. You need textbooks.
But
really
do you need water polo is the question. Do you need water polo?
Well, there may be some textbooks about water polo. I got you.
Thanks, okay, Kevin. Appreciate it. You got it, my friend. Spike's in Westchester. Hey, Spike.
Hey, Rich. Thank you for taking me on here. Help me understand this. Help me understand this coaching scandal. What am I missing? Have you ever been in line and you've given concierge $20? Have you ever paid for a ticket that is more expensive than face value? Have you ever used your ability to get ahead? What are these people doing?
Let me give you fair question. Let me give you some examples. For one guy, had his graphic designer at his company Photoshop his kid playing water polo to get the kid on the water polo team. To me, that's not the same as giving the maitre d' $20 to get a good table. Fair point. That's misrepresentation, you know. Are you there? All right, Spike, thank you for the call. 855-839-1210. They were Photoshopping kids to pretend they were on these teams. I mean, the indictment's pretty amazing, what they were doing here. But it wasn't just a matter of just paying somebody a little gratuity to help put their application at the top of the pile. This was a much, much deeper thing that was happening here. I mean, some of the stuff is hilarious. Quite frankly, with some of the stuff that they were doing, you know, to Photoshop your kid playing water polo. That's hysterical. To me, that's hysterical. That encapsulates this entire scandal, I think, more than anything. That you had to fake your kid playing one of the most elitist sports in the world history of sports, water polo. right? Where honestly, it's basically a fancy way of saying volleyball. Let's be honest. I don't know if there's horses involved. I have no idea. All I know is this. You want to talk about elitism. When you're so elite that your kid doesn't even have to play water polo to get on the water polo team, that is the very definition of elitism right there. But it also, look, anytime you start injecting, you know, you're waiting in line to give the maitre d' $20. There's no guarantee the maitre d' is going to do anything. This was an elaborate scam by a guy who wore a wire for the FBI. It was a coordinated effort. They would name the price. They would cheat on tests. They would have doctors fake notes so that the kids could get special treatment when they took the test. It was a big, big, elaborate plan to get their kids to be accepted to these universities. It involved making donations, yes, but to me, that's the least offensive part of this. What's really offensive to me is they found the way to cheat the system, and they cheated the system, which then, of course, makes it unfair to everybody who doesn't have the ability to cheat the system because, A, it's illegal, and B, they don't have the kind of money to pay somebody to Photoshop their little brat kid playing water polo.
Riccioli 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.